Welcome to Necessary Conversations with Daryl M. Taliaferro. Conversations that are real, raw, and relevant. Let's get the conversation started now.
Hey, welcome to episode number 10 of Necessary Conversations. Now listen, this is part two of the conversation entitled Marriage, Convenience or Covenant. I'm joined again by Shayla Ray. She's an amazing woman of God that every week I have the privilege of listening to her perspective in a segment she calls Two Cent Tuesdays. You can listen to this on Instagram each and every week. In addition, she serves as president and CEO of Shayla Ray Consulting. Now listen, if you didn't hear part one in episode 9, you need to go back and take a listen to it. I promise you, you want to listen to it. It'll change your life. Let's get to the conversation right now. Sir, do you take this woman to be your wedded wife, to live together after God's ordinance in the holiest state of matrimony? Do you promise to love her, comfort her, honor and keep her in sickness and in health, and forsaking all others, keeping yourself only unto her as long as you both shall live? Ma'am, do you take this man to be your wedded husband, to live together after God's ordinance in the holiest state of matrimony? Do you promise to love him, comfort him, honor and keep him in sickness and in health, forsaking all others, keeping yourself only unto him as long as you both shall live? For as much as these two have consented together in holy wedlock and have witnessed the same before God in this company and have pledged their love to each other and have declared the same by giving and receiving rings, by the power vested in me, I now pronounce you husband and wife. When you consider marriage, a lot of times people get their perception of what marriage is from people around them and what's on television. You know,
yep.
When they look at, you know, maybe their parents were married or maybe their parents were not married, or maybe people, you know, in their church were married and had what appear to be, you know, a good, healthy marriage. Or if they've watched television and they've seen, you know, like Claire Huxtable and Cliff Huxtable, most people want that type of marriage.
Mm-hmm.
But often we never really saw Claire and Cliff argue. not for real. You never really saw them really go through anything major. And it's an unrealistic view of marriage. Though I love The Cosby Show, you really never really saw a realistic view of marriage.
Yeah.
But let's turn our attention to Cardi B and Offset.
Yeah.
Cardi B and Offset, they got married in 2017. Now, apparently, based upon news reports, Offset, you know, looked at Cardi one day and said, "Hey, marry me." And she said, "Yes." They brought in an officiant into their bedroom and they got married. It was Cardi B, Offset, their cousin, and the officiant. They got married. Later on, you know, the story goes, they were at a concert. Offset comes on the stage, proposes to Cardi B. They officially get married, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they, you know, live, quote unquote, happily ever after. They have culture, you know. And then all throughout their marriage, rumors of infidelity began to flow, right?
Yep.
And here it is in 2020, Cardi files for divorce. Now, she's adamant to say that the divorce has nothing to do with infidelity or anything of that nature. She's adamant to say that, you know, hey, I'm just not happy. I'm just not really, you know, pleased with what's going on in the marriage. Now, this is just after making a hit song, WAP,
mm-hmm.
Right? There are so many women who, when this broke, went in on Cardi, right?
Mm-hmm.
They went in and was talking about, I guess that WAP didn't keep that man.
Mm-hmm.
With that said, the perception of a lot of people is that WAP, and those of you who are Those of you who are listening to the podcast, just Google, you know, you figure out what WAP is. I'm not going to tell you what it
right,
is.
Right, right.
You know, a lot of people feel that WAP is going to keep a man. What's your perspective on that?
Well, I have a very interesting perspective, but I'll start off with saying WAP is never going to keep anybody. Okay. It's just not realistic. Sex in general is such a temporary short thing. And it's this very small fraction of, when it comes to time, your entire relationship, you know, right. There's so many different other facets, but you know, sometimes if you're not having sex in your marriage, it becomes 90%. It becomes a huge deal. And it is something that can actually bring you together, you know, as a couple with the intimacy. And that's what God designed it for, to multiply and to have a closeness together. When it comes to Cardi B and Offset, I mean, he might have still been kept. Maybe her WAP was keeping him, but she's the one who chose to walk away. She's the one who left that situation. Now, if he filed for divorce, I would understand the WAP jokes a little bit more, but she decided for herself as a woman, and she might have got to that same point that I got to when it comes to thinking about your daughter, your happiness, you know, what is my family going to look like? Am I going to hurt? Because I know a lot of people whose parents stayed married and it did more damage than if they would have been divorced.
Yeah.
Because they lived in such trauma and they saw such dysfunction and they saw anger and all these different types of things that I knew I didn't want my child to see.
Yes.
You know, so I think the whole, I mean, it is interesting, and I think it's coincidental that the song came out, because she did have a line, and this is where she went wrong. That line where she said,
I don't cook, I don't clean, but let me tell you, I got this ring.
That right there was a no-no. Like, women, I want you to know, if you ain't cooking, if you ain't cleaning, and you thinking that your WAP is going to get you the ring, and you're going to actually have a fruitful marriage? No.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't work like that.
Yeah.
At all.
At the end of the day, one of the things that I say, even as men, when we talk to each other, you know, at the end of the day, one day, it ain't going to be a WAP. One day, it's going to be a situation that may cause gravity to set in. You know, what was a 20 ounce is now a 2 liter. You know what?
Yep.
I mean, really, like, what
you're stupid.
What we look at, you know, as beauty may not be beauty. Here's the thing. Let's take Cardi B. Cardi B aesthetically is a beautiful girl for the perception of most men. You know, she has cute face. She got a body. Mm-hmm. You know, she got the boobs and the booty. Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. Now,
if Cardi B, God forbid, if Cardi B was to get in a terrible accident, how many men would actually still stay with Cardi B? How many men would still stay by her side? And that's the same thing with, it don't have to be Cardi B. It could be whoever the person is, whoever the woman is. You want somebody, when you choose a mate, you want to make sure that that person is not into you just for aesthetics, just for looks, and just for your WAP. You want to make sure that that person is into you because of you. Because when the stuff hits the fan, you want somebody that's going to be fighting with you to work things out. We live in an age where there's no stick-to-itiveness. There's no desire to really work things out as relates to marriage, as relates to unity. A lot of people have this false and erroneous perception that, man, we'll get married, we'll hook up, and it'll be Little House on the Prairie. But in essence, it turns out to Nightmare on Elm Street. It goes into a situation where two people who are not ready, who didn't know each other, or who did know each other, got to a place where they, as Cardi puts it in news reports, they grew apart, quote unquote.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I believe that grow. Yeah.
You grow, and either you're going to grow together or you're going to grow apart. But I think that goes back to what you said. If you really love somebody, it's easier to grow together, because things are going to happen in your everyday life. You're going to experience death of, you know, family. You're going to experience maybe an older parent. There's going to be so many different elements that come into the fold that can potentially hurt your marriage. And if you're not one, and if you don't really understand, and I think this goes back to what you were saying originally, is, you know, we don't have a true knowledge. We're not taught this in school, even though, yeah. you know, this is one of the biggest things that we'll encounter in our lifetime. We're not taught it in school. And like you said, you only know by your relationships around you, which may be good or bad.
Right.
But even then, it's going to be something completely different for you with where you are as a person and where that person coming together. If you got mess, which we all do, and you come together, that mess is just going to come together, and God can't bless mess.
Yeah.
So
that's an excellent point. You know, one of the things that is really true for most people is there's a lot of singles trying to get in, and there's a lot of married people trying to get out. You got single people trying to get married, but then you got a lot of married people trying not to stay in their marriage for whatever reason. I wish we had real, authentic conversations such as this about yeah. marriage, because I'm a product of the church. I preach and I teach, but ultimately in church, you don't hear the reality of marriage. You don't.
You don't.
There's a market, if you will, on single conferences for women. Conferences to help women. Girl, you're going to get your man. You're going to get your Boaz. You're going to get this. You're going to get that. But in a reality, we're not teaching women how to be women first. And then we're not teaching women how to be wives. But we're definitely not teaching men how to be husbands.
Yeah.
I challenge you. Tell me, when have you found a conference that actually teaches men how to be a husband or how to be the godly man that God has called for them to be? Now, we got these man caves that we go, we get together and we watch sports and we talk about various things, but we really don't really get to the nitty gritty as a man, talking about our past, talking about issues that we may have seen with our father, talking about issues that we may have seen with our grandfather or different things of that nature that we could potentially be dealing with. Nor do I believe that women really deal with generational curses of their grandmothers and then their mothers and then them. If we did that, could you imagine the marriages that would be produced after having the knowledge of the pain of the past so that they can be dealt with? Could you imagine how that would really be in terms of making marriage work? You know, it would be amazing.
Yes. And that's what I talked about on one of my 2 Cent Tuesdays, is just our testimony. Like, and that's why it was so important for me to be open and honest about my story in hopes that it will help other people. But I lived in so much shame about it for so long. And that's what the enemy wants. And that's what he's done with a lot of our generations in the past. They were ashamed of things that were going on. Yeah. And we didn't know how to communicate with our lineage about some things that were real. And we've just thought, okay, well, let's pretend that it's a fairy tale, or let's pretend that, yes, this is what they're going to do and maybe it won't affect them, but that's not true. And I will never forget, after I finally, I'm going to say came out to my parents and family and grandmothers about me wanting to get a divorce and that's what I was pursuing.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. They went on telling me about their experiences. And it wasn't until I went through my experience and I shared that with them that they were able to really open up to me and say, hey, your grandfather was a mess and he did X, Y, Z to me, yeah. you know? And I'm like, what? I never knew, you know, yeah. like that this was even a thing or even going on. And I understand wanting to protect our kids. Mm-hmm. I get that. And the timing has to be right.
Yeah.
But I think we do need to have more conversations in the right time so that our kids and our future generations are prepared and have a better understanding of what we went through, because it's not perfect,
yeah.
even though we make it seem like it is sometimes.
Absolutely. And I believe in arming people with the truth. You know, when you get into a relationship, you should arm the person that you're with the truth. If you have done some things in your past that you're not proud of, go ahead and tell them, arm them with the truth, because you don't want to put them in a situation where they find out later and it's damning to the relationship or is damaging to even the person's psyche. And then they won't trust you based upon the lie that they've entered into.
Exactly. I totally agree with that.
Now, with that said, you are the president and CEO of Shayla Ray Coaching, and you're going to be working with individuals to help them navigate some of the challenges that they're going through. What would you tell a woman that's listening to this podcast who's like, man, I want to get married, but I don't know if I should now? Or a man that's considering, man, I want to get married, but I don't know if I should now. And we're gonna go from that extreme to the next one would be, what do you tell a woman? I'm married, but I'm dealing with some issues. How do I work through them? Mm-hmm. Same thing with the man.
Yeah. So what I would tell single people about marriage is talk to people that you know that are married. Say, hey, you know that you have a relationship with, hey, I desire to be married, but I don't know a lot about it. And, you know, if you could just be as completely candid with me, I would really appreciate to soak in that knowledge. Sometimes we got to ask the people that are around us, mm-hmm. you know, so that they can give us a real depiction. And I don't want to make it seem like marriage is, you know, a bad thing, because marriage is absolutely a beautiful thing. Yes, I have most of my friends are married. They have their ups and downs. And I think that's where the expectation management, you can't think that it's going to be a fairy tale at all times. Mm-hmm. But when you get, or you are with someone who you're equally yoked to, which is biblical,
right,
and you are joining with them for the right reasons and in love and under God, God can multiply. And I believe that marriage is a ministry.
It is.
I really believe that it's a ministry because it's a true depiction of forgiveness.
Yeah.
Because everybody can't forgive like I know that my marriage friends do on a daily basis. And sometimes it's from small things. And then there's been some big things that have come in, you know, and I've seen people recover from infidelity,
right,
which is a challenge to do, because you really have to have two people who are all in and ready to fight for the marriage. And it takes a lot to do that. Mm-hmm. But I would say, let's start having candid conversations. Let's have conversations like this. Let's figure out ways to teach people about marriage so that they understand. And what I will say is, single people, because this is what I'm experiencing, you know, with a lot of women with the biological clocks, right, and things of that nature, they're miserable because they're not where they thought that they would be. They were thinking that they would be married by now.
Right.
They were thinking that they were going to have the kids, you know, and I talked about this on 2 Cent Tuesday about our expectations and what we tell ourselves. And when it doesn't line up, we're upset, we're angry, and we're resentful of the position that God has us in. And being single is beautiful. Yeah. It is beautiful. This is the optimal time where you can devote to yourself, to learning yourself, being honest and real about you, self-awareness and understanding where do I lack, or what things in my life have affected me? You know, mm-hmm. what do I want in a mate?
Right.
Because I didn't even know that. You know what I mean? Like, it was just like, oh, okay, we don't even know what we desire to have. We don't know all the many elements of finance and, you know, parenting styles is a big thing mm-hmm. that affects you in your marriage. You know, there's so many different facets, and we have to be open to talk about it, but we have to have hope and faith. And if this is really what you want, and if this is really what you desire, and God has told you, this is what I want for you, you will have it.
Yeah.
So don't be deterred by seeing this failed marriage and that failed marriage, because sometimes we can see it so much that we're just like, oh,
yeah,
I don't even know if I want this. But we got to hear from some of the people who are doing it well, who can be transparent and say it's not perfect.
Yeah.
What I would say to a woman who is at a rocky point in her relationship, you have to pray. You know, I'm a spiritual person. Yep. You know, I don't think anybody can tell you whether you should stay or you should leave. And just like my grandmother always told me, nobody will know everything about your relationship but you.
That's right.
You can pick and choose and to tell what you want to tell, but you have the true understanding of what your relationship really is.
Right.
And I would say 80% of the time you should be happy. You know, absolutely, there's going to be 20%. There's going to be 20%. It's going to be some things. And you need to ask yourself some really hard questions. Am I happy? Am I fulfilled? Is this a relationship that I would promote for my kids?
Right.
If it's not, because we got to stop doing that, mm-hmm, as parents, telling our kids to do something that we don't do.
Right, right.
We need to be aligned with our values, because if it's not consistent, it doesn't resonate with our kids,
yeah,
unless they see it.
That's right.
And so these are some hard questions that you're going to have to ask yourself. And then you're going to have to ask yourself, if you get to the point where you're like, I'm done, you know, I've exhausted everything, because exhaust everything. And I want people to understand, like, therapy, challenge your therapist like I didn't do.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Challenge that person. If something doesn't feel right, you can get you another therapist, and you can get somebody who is more aligned with your understanding and your thinking. Get a coach, mm-hmm, you know, get somebody who can kind of help you and your husband figure out how we can get you to where you want to be. There's a lot of things that you can do, but if you feel like you've done it all and there's nothing else, you have exhausted everything, because it takes two people,
right?
Honestly, mm-hmm, if you're doing all the work and they're not, then that speaks volumes, and that should be taken into consider with the questions that you're asking yourself. Mm-hmm. But I would say, you know what? It's hard. People think that it's easy. Generations in the past, we were just taught to just stick it out. That was what we were taught, yeah, no matter what. It didn't matter what you had to endure. You were not to leave.
No, because they said, baby, it'll get better. It'll get better.
Right. It'll get better. That's your man.
Yeah.
He all right. And dysfunction on top of dysfunction.
Yeah.
Disrespect. Just trauma. Mm-hmm. Trauma. And that is not how we should be thinking.
Right.
If this is really affecting you, changing you, you're depressed, there's no way, you feel hopeless, you feel like it's no way out, you got to figure out how to make your transition. And that would be a prime time to come and talk to a coach like me, mm-hmm, where we could kind of discuss, you know, where you are and where you want to be, and come up with a plan to get you where you want to be, where you can be better on the other side.
Yeah.
Because it does not define who you are.
Yeah. There may be men listening to this podcast that are in a situation where they have cheated on their significant other. They may not be married, or they may be married and they have, mm-hmm, cheated. As a woman who has experienced the hurt and the pain of infidelity, what would you say to this man? And also, what would you say as a means of encouragement to get back on track and restore the trust that's in the relationship? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would say, you know what, we're human. I mean, we were born into this world with sin.
Yes.
You know, we are going to fall. And, you know, what I think that God had amazing intentions for, which was to, you know, have sex with your wife and multiply and build a family and have that intimacy.
Key word, with your wife.
With your wife. Key word, with your wife. But, and this is where I want to say, I feel the enemy has come in and he's created such perversion. I live in Atlanta. I live in the city of strip clubs.
Yo. Welcome to Atlanta, where the players play and we ride on them things like every day. Big beats hit streets, see gangsters roaming, and parties don't stop till 8 in the morning.
Imagine what that does to your psychological mind, where you're seeing just naked women. You can go into anywhere. You could take somebody on a date, and people do it all the time.
Yeah.
And they're seeing this imagery of all of these women at one man's, you know, disposal.
Yeah.
And then I've also seen and I've heard how women are raised. You know, oh, it's all about keeping your legs closed, being a virgin. Mm-hmm. But with the men, it's like you hit puberty. Have you had sex yet?
Right.
Well, how many girls you been with?
Yeah.
You know, and it creates this culture of men feeling like women bring that, the more women that they have, bring them more value. Or if they have the booty and the butt and the this and the that and all of those superficial things that, like you said, will not last.
No.
that's what they're going after. So, you know, I understand you could cheat because, you know, it's a very tempting world. You know, our grandparents, they cheated. I don't know. They must have sent letters and, you know.
Telegrams.
And when the bird come out at night, yeah. I'm gonna come see you. I don't know. But yeah. Now, guess what? We got social media and anybody in the world is at your
beck and call.
Beck and call. Yeah. Like you have access to any multiple platforms. Messages can erase after you do it. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like it's so much to it in the state that we're in right now that is, it's concerning for me for the future of marriage, but I'm still staying hopeful. If you do cheat, you can turn it around. If you really love that woman, we've seen it happen.
Yes.
They will say, you know what? I don't want to hurt you and I don't want to put you in this situation. And like you said, here's my information. I owe you this to you yeah. because I messed up.
That's right.
Let me be as transparent as possible because I have to actually regain your trust.
Yes.
And it's not about you trusting me off of nothing at all.
Right.
Because I've damaged our trust. So if you do cheat, you know, God forbid, you can turn around. But what I want men to do is practice while you're single and women too, because we expect to do something that we never practiced.
Wow.
And that is right there. It is delusional to think that a marriage, a ring, anything is going to change a behavior that you have never done anything different with.
That's so true.
You see what I'm saying? Yeah. And until we're able to get people to understand that, because guess what? If you're a runner, you're going to train.
Yeah.
If you're a basketball player, you're going to practice.
Yeah.
And you're going to practice it. And you're only as good as your practice.
Yes.
So if you don't practice something, marriage will not change a thing. On either side.
That's good. I like that because ultimately, as a man, it's my responsibility to practice fidelity. As a woman, yes. It's your responsibility to practice fidelity. It's our responsibility to get so good at being faithful that
yep.
even when the opportunity comes to be unfaithful, I'm so good at being faithful that it's like, nah, I'll pass.
I'll pass.
Wow.
Because you practiced it.
Yeah.
And you're good at it now. Like I said, you have to change the person that little young boy who your uncles and everything, yeah. how many girls you with.
Yep.
And you've been doing this and you just been doing this the whole time. And you think over one day I do is going to change that?
Yeah.
Absolutely not.
Absolutely.
I had a man who didn't tell me that he was engaged or I didn't even know that he was married. He called me right after he said I do on the day of his marriage. Talking about when am I gonna see you?
Wow.
That is the biggest misconception that we think, and that's another thing that's good for marriage talk. People ain't gonna change on the other side of marriage. We think that the marriage is gonna change them.
That's true. I absolutely agree. And you know what? I tell people all the time, a piece of paper does not change the essence of who you are. You walking down this aisle saying I do in front of all these people and in front of God, the only thing you've done is wasted your money and put on nice clothes because you're the same trashy person that you were before you got married.
Same trashy person. A baby don't change it.
Yeah.
A marriage doesn't change it.
No.
And a lot of times when we're picking mates, we think that they're going to change. They're going to be different than the person that they are right now. And that's our hope. And it's just not real.
Yeah.
You marry that person for flaws and all, everything that they're doing right now, expect that that's what's going to happen on the other side. And that's all you can really do.
Yeah. And I dare say that it may be magnified because once you married, I'm confident that there's a level of comfortability that's there. If they were dirty and they left their clothes around their own apartment, you know, when they get married, they're going to leave their stuff around yours, you know, and
of course,
it's like it's only going to magnify the issue.
And when you get married, you put another level of an expectation because you're like, we're married now.
Yeah.
Yeah. You might have done XYZ when we were boyfriend and girlfriend, but now that we're married, I'm expecting this.
Right. Right.
And I hear people say, I know even my sister and her husband, they've been together for so long. They were together for what, maybe 8 years before they actually got married, but they met in college. And they said, just like everybody else I know, the first year of marriage was one of the most challenging years. Most people can't make it past the first year of marriage, yeah, because of the expectation and the inability to meet those expectations, which is the reality of marriage.
It is. But one of the things you said earlier, and you may not even realize that you said it, but you said expectation management. And honestly, even in premarital counseling and even just general conversations between the man and the woman, you all need to sit down and discuss, what are my expectations for this marriage? What are your expectations for this marriage? Whether it be real, implied, or whatever. Because ultimately, if I was marrying this woman, I desire to do this, 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 and this. If this woman was marrying me, she desires to do this, 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 and this. But here's the reality. Most conversations don't go like, hey, I want this to happen, and this to happen, and it actually happens that way. Marriage, once you get married, situations happen. You know, you desire, well, we'll have a baby at year 5. What happens if you have the baby at year 2? If you don't have that.
What if you can't have the baby at all because you didn't know?
Exactly.
That you have a fertility issue.
That's right.
That happens, and that does damage to relationships as well, and it's just out of our control.
That's why you got to have the conversation.
I will preach it, and this is what I teach the women that I coach, is the expectation management is huge. So thank you for, yes, pointing that out. Have those conversations about, so that you guys are on the same page for your expectations. And then you have to dive even deeper, because a lot of times that person might not be able to reach what you're expecting. And this is conversations that you should have prior to being married.
Yeah. We're going to close with this, but I'll say there are a lot of men and women who get married simply because they've been with somebody so long. They get married because, well, you know, I've been with them so long, and they asked. I remember counseling a couple and they hit a rocky patch. And I said, why did you all get married? And the woman simply said, he asked. That is the absolute. And of course, I didn't say this like this to them in counseling, but that is the absolute dumbest reason to get married. It's simply because, yep, a man asked. You know, you want to get married because you feel that this person can add value to your life. You want to get married because this person enhances who you are. You never want to get married because you feel that this person completes you. If you are not complete before you say I do, do not get married.
That's it. And that's what I'm talking about with people who you so miserable single, you resenting your singleness so much that, yeah. I mean, how can you be happy? Because you're already expecting somebody to come in and change how you feel about yourself.
Yeah. Well, Shayla Ray, final thoughts. What you got to say? Final thoughts.
Final thoughts. I'm happy that we're having this conversation about marriage, something that is so important in all of our lives that we are not really taught.
Yeah.
One thing that I love about life is, and I'm a huge believer in generational curses, but I believe we can change generations and we have the power to do it. And with knowledge, understanding, and action, we can literally create a lane for our generations to come that will set them up for success. But we got to start having these conversations. We got to start talking about it. And we got to start educating, because the family is what the enemy wants more than nothing else. If he can destroy that, he can destroy everything. That's and true. We got to fight for our generation, and we got to fight for our communities, and we got to fight for our families.
That's so true. You know, marriage is an honorable union. It is something that should be seriously thought about and prayed about before entering. The ultimate goal of marriage should be for two people to come together as one in an effort to make an indelible mark on the world. When you enter into marriage, you're making a covenant with God, yourself, and your spouse. You're making a promise to God to love each other as Christ loved the church. You're making a promise to yourself to be authentic and true, both with yourself as well as your spouse. You're making a promise with each other to love, honor, and cherish each other, both in the best of times and in the worst of times. Marriage is about covenant, not convenience. Let me say that again. Marriage is about covenant, not convenience. The fact is, a call to marriage is oftentimes a call to inconvenience. Let me put it this way. It's a call to flexibility and to sacrifice. It's a call to patience and to forgiveness. It's a call to acceptance and hard work. Marriage is beautiful, and it should be desired, but appropriately so. If you listen to this episode and you say, Daryl, I really do desire to get married. Okay, I get it. I want you to do me a favor. Ask yourself these 7 questions. Why do I want to get married? Ask yourself that. Number 2, why do I want to be married? You notice the difference there? The first question is, why do I want to get married? The second question, why do I want to be married? You see, the fact is, so many people are enamored with a wedding, and many people forget about the investment needed to sustain the marriage. It's no challenge in getting married. The challenge is being married. Number 3, what is my understanding of marriage? What marriages have you seen? Have you seen marriages that have sustained the test of time? Or have you seen marriages that broke up at the first hint of trial? Number 4, am I ready to fight for the marriage when challenges arise? You see, the fact is, when challenge and issue and circumstances arise in marriage, we tend to result to one of 2 places, either fight or flight. Fight is when you get in there and you stick it out and you begin to fight for what you believe in. Flight is when you take the escape route. You say, this is too much for me. I got to relieve myself of the pressure and the pain of this moment. Now, in marriage, the goal and the desire should be for you to fight. Fight for what you believe in. Fight for the investment that you've made. And fight for the covenant you've made with God, yourself, and your spouse. Number 5, am I ready to give 100% to my spouse at all times, both in good times and bad? You see, there's no issue in giving your spouse 100% when things are good. But what happens when things are bad? What happens when there's infidelity? What happens when there's a lack of trust? What happens when there's sickness? What happens when there's a lack of money? What happens when expectations are not met? You see, it's still your responsibility to give your spouse 100%, even if you feel like you're not getting 100%. Now, that's not to suggest that you should be walked on, trampled upon. I'm not saying that. But it is always our responsibility to give out what we expect. Number 6, am I ready to honor and put the needs of my spouse before my own personal needs? You see, as a single man or as a single woman, there was no issue in putting your needs first. Why? Because it's just you. But now that you're married, you have the responsibility to put the needs and the desires of your spouse before your own personal needs. Number 7, am I ready to maintain a long-lasting commitment? That's a very important question. You see, often people are enamored again by a wedding. People are excited about the idea of marriage, but very few are willing to maintain the long-lasting commitment that they made again before God, with themselves, and with their spouse. Hey, marriage is a beautiful thing, and it should not be entered into lightly or unadvisedly, but reverently, discreetly, and advisedly, and in the fear of God. Well, that's it for episode number 10. I want to thank my special guest, Shayla Ray. You can follow her on social media at _ Shayla Ray. That's _ SHAYLARAYE. Or go to her website, www.shaylaray.com. Hey, listen, this is the final episode of season 1 of Necessary Conversations. Season 2 will begin on Wednesday, November 4th, 2020. Hey, I need you to do me a favor. Be a part of the conversation. If you've got a topic that you want us to converse about, all you got to do is let us know. Go to our website, www.necessaryconversationspodcast.com, or check us out on Facebook or Instagram at Necessary Conversations Podcast. Slide in our DMs and let us know what you got. Until then, peace.
Thanks for listening to Necessary Conversations with Daryl M. Taliaferro. Follow us on social media at Necessary Conversations Podcast. Join the conversation by leaving a message on our website, necessaryconversationspodcast.com. And don't forget to subscribe to this podcast so you'll be notified every time a new one drops. Now, go have the conversations you need to have with the people you need to have them with.